Welcome to Board Gamer. We are back to normal and we're on episode 15.
Episode 15. Feels like a landmark episode, this does.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Can't believe how quick they're just going by now. We're starting to kind of get used to it a little bit.
To a degree, yeah.
So we're back to our normal format. We've had a couple of special episodes. We haven't got Jake. We've all had a few holidays and then Jake's not been very well. So get well soon, Jake. Let's get right into it.
Let's do it.
So, as I say, we're going to get right into a normal format episode. We had a, I guess, a special one with Jay a couple of episodes ago. And then we had Luke last week for episode 14, which was good. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I love going through the Juve games.
It was good.
Yeah.
I watched it back and I was like laughing at some of the my choices, but I was thinking, why did I even just put Cavani at first? Not do what I said, but oh well, we're there. So we'll get right into it with game of the week.
Nice, game of the week.
So game of the week this week is a game called Orléans. Really good game. You played this?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay, really good. It's a I don't even know what you call it, but it's a game where you are in Orléans in France.
Yeah.
And you are, I don't know, traversing around, picking up wheat and stuff, and you're building sort of buildings in different areas. But the main actual feature is bag pulling, which is one of my favorite mechanics in a game.
Yeah.
You have like tokens, and when you pull them out, you have to produce like another type of token to put in your bag, you have to get combinations of different ones.
Yeah.
And once you fill them up, you can take that action basically. So you're hoping to pull out the ones you want. Sometimes you just got to do like kind of the action that you've been given.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's just different things that do all sorts of, that help you out in all sorts of different ways. Some things help you to move your man around. Some help you to build buildings. Some allow you to move down the sort of canals rather than the roads. And on the way, you are picking up these different tiles, like food tiles and that sort of thing, which are all worth victory points. You also get victory points depending on how many buildings you've built. There's a university track that you can chits that you pull out of the bag. Once you put them in that area, you can go to the university track, and that's like a multiplier score.
Okay.
Really, really good fun. But then each round there's like, you pull a card and it will do something. It might be a good thing, like you can get a free monk chit, or you can't use the monk chits, or some are like taxes, so you have to pay food back if you have it, and things like that.
That's cool.
So yeah, really, really cool. Really good fun game. It doesn't look like it. That's the funny thing about this game.
Yeah, I was going to say the artwork is not the most appealing.
No.
Maybe it is if you're a massive Juve fan, this is probably your dream.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I've been thinking about Juve too much recently. But sometimes I think the uglier games, sometimes the better games.
Yeah, it can be. I thought that said spilled the Yaris then, no. But it doesn't now.
Afraid not. Does it says Kennerspielde?
Oh, Kennerspielde Yaris. So that's like the heavier version of the Spielde Yaris. So they have the main one, which like can feature family, and then this is for like the heavier gamer.
Well, that did win it.
What? How heavy is this? What would you compare it to? Something like?
Good question. I think when you first get into it, it can be a little bit heavy. Once you kind of get into it, it's pretty straightforward game. I actually don't think it's too bad if somebody knows the game and is teaching it rather than having to read the rules for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because actually, this is a game where you might be able to do that roll and teach that we talked about before. At the end of the day, you're just pulling chits out of a bag and you put them out. But
Is it luck driven?
Yeah, a little bit, because you don't know what you're pulling. Yeah. And sometimes, like some of those tokens, it's really funny. It one of them says you have to pull a token out of the bag and you lose it. And there's so many times where you get like the monk, which is like a wild card. You can use it for anything.
Yeah.
and you go and pull that out and you go, oh, flipping heck, and you lose it. But yeah, there is a slight luck element, but it's not too punishing that you can't do anything if you don't draw the right things. Like, you can just go, okay, this round I didn't get what I wanted, but I'll do this instead. But sometimes, once you kind of get towards the later game, you want to be moving around that map on the side. You want to be putting houses out. You want to be collecting all the little tokens that are going to give you points at the end of the game. But yeah, if you're not doing that at the end, you're going to suffer the point. You're not going to win the game. So you want to try and start getting those tokens out, because you want to be moving around and building if you can, and try and get both movement, like both actions out in one go.
Nice.
Plays 2-4, about 90 minutes it says on the box. I'd say about that. I think the first time you play it, expect a couple of hours maybe. Yeah. But really, really good game. Like I say, it doesn't look great, but don't judge a game by its cover.
Yeah, it really doesn't look good, does it?
So good, though. Actually, Luke, who was on it last week, showed me this game. As you can expect, being a big Juve fan and dry, beige sort of games, he showed me this game. I fell in love with it. And I remember when I put an order in, I was like, I've got to get Ollie on as well. So I put it as part of my basket and got it, because it was just so good. I'm not a massive... I wouldn't say I'm the biggest dry beige guy. I like a good theme in a game.
Yeah.
I would say it is themed. Like, there is something to do, but it is a dry beige game, though. But I love it. Really, really good. And that's why I've put it as game of the week this week.
Nice. Check out Orleans.
So we're going to go on to our community question. Have you got any community questions?
Yeah, so we want to ask people in the community, if someone has just played Catan for the first time and they really enjoyed it, what game would you recommend next for them to play or pick up even? So that's our question to you. Was Catan one of your first games?
It was, yeah. I'd say it was.
Yeah, it was one of mine as well. I actually watched some of the championships like when I first started.
Oh, yeah.
I really like Catan. There's actually a new expansion coming out to do with like clean air.
Oh, right. Okay.
And yeah, it's about like, I think, I can't remember, it's to do with fossil fuels stuff. Yeah, so I'd seen that. I was like, that actually looks pretty interesting. So maybe that could be the next step up, just an expansion.
Yeah, definitely. I bought it. It was one of my first games I bought. Just traditional. It is the game to get when you first, I guess, get into board gaming. I loved it. Played it loads. I still like it today. I know a lot of my friends have moved on and neglected it now. I don't mind having a good game of Catan if it's going. I found my love for it actually through lockdown, when we were all like stuck inside. There was the mobile app and a load of us got it, and we just started playing like game after game, because no one was doing anything. So we ended up doing that. So that was good fun. I would say the one thing I would definitely think about doing is maybe look at the expansions, because the Seafarers one's brilliant.
Okay.
Really love that one. I think it's actually the only one the expansion I've played, but I think it adds to Catan quite a lot, and I think it's definitely worth having.
Yeah, I know there's a few of the expansions on BGA. If you have played Catan and you want to try out some of the other ones, I'm sure they've got Cities and Knights on there as well.
Nice.
Give that a try. What would you recommend as your
next game?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what even was my next game up. That is a good question. Obviously, Sentry, great game.
Yeah.
Splendor as all, those sort of games are really good to pick up.
I think it's entirely dependent on the person. I mean, if you know someone and they're really into, I don't know, puzzles.
Yeah.
Quite heavy games, like if they're playing video games that are quite heavy, maybe you could go like a step up in terms of something like Brass, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that would be a bit too optional. Or maybe like Dune Imperium or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But I actually went with Carcassonne as my next one. And that, if anything, I think that was like a little bit of an easier game than Catan. So I think along what you said, like Azul, Splendor. Yeah.
One game, if you like the trading sort of element of Catan, Chinatown is a great game for that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a nice, great show.
Nice, easy sort of game to play as well. Quite good fun, good laugh. Yeah. Can be quite silly at times. The only problem with Chinatown, it is out of print, so it's quite hard to get a hold of.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great shout, actually.
Yeah, I think that was a really, really good game. I used to have it, but I just overplayed it.
Fair enough.
But it is a great step up from Catan, I think. Cool. What about you? Ooh. Other than Carcassonne?
I wouldn't recommend Carcassonne as the next game. I would say if you really enjoy Catan, then give... I was going to say Terra Mystica, but that's probably a bit too much of a step up.
I like your thinking, though.
Yeah, I like just going for it. Yeah, maybe Dune Imperium. Yeah, maybe that, yeah. Because you've got a bit of like new elements in terms of deck building.
Yeah.
You've also got worker placement, which is introduced into that game. And I think it's on the heavier side, but it's nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
And I think you can pick that up. It's quite thematic. And it's also a Euro game at heart, so it's got a bit of everything there.
Nice. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good game. And like you say, I think if you've just started with Catan and you want to expand the world of different types of mechanics, something like Dune Imperium is a great shot for that sort of thing. Like you say, a bit of deck building, bit of that sort of war element of like resource gathering, trying to put things like maneuver the board, I guess, control the board and that sort of thing. So you've got loads of different types of mechanics in it. So.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a good question. Like it.
Nice.
Can't wait to see what everyone else has to say.
Let us know what your next step up game is from Catan.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool. So we got, we are going to move on to tabletop news.
Yeah, tabletop news. So my tabletop news for this week is we have a new camera. No, am I joking? That isn't the news. We have got a new camera. I hope you you enjoy the new format that we've got going on.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Might be rubbish. We just don't know how to use it. That's the thing, isn't it?
Well, if it makes it out, you know, it's at least we've got somewhere with it. So, yeah. So, the tabletop news I've got for this week is that Mattel, the publisher, are making 80% of their games colorblind accessible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So apparently 1 in 20 are colorblind.
Yeah.
So I think this is great news. I think in terms of like the video game industry, they make it accessible for everyone. I remember watching E3 and they go through like the accessibility awards, and there was one for The Last of Us and they showed how anyone can play that game. I thought that is so great that anyone can pick up this game and play it. And now it's evolving into the board game world.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I think it's really good news.
Yeah, it's a really good shout. I know that Eden bought Uno No Mercy just for a laugh. And we played it. It's brutal. But the cards have actually got shapes in the corner if you can't see the colours. So you just have to look at the shape and then you can look at your cards and match the shapes rather than having to look at colours, which is really cool for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Definitely think it's worth it if you can make it accessible. It's definitely worth... it's nice to think that some game designers are considering it and publishers are considering those things to make it more accessible.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say there was a game I played recently, the one with the cat on.
That's not a hat. No, that's not a cat.
That's not a cat.
I keep saying that, don't I?
Calico.
Oh, yeah.
And so I felt while I was playing it, like I struggled with some of the colours because of the green to the blue is quite similar.
Okay.
So if you was colourblind on that, you'd have a
terrible
real
time.
Hard time.
Yeah. Calico.
No, I'm joking. It was a good game, though.
Yeah.
Good game, but...
I can't remember. I've got a game similar that where the colours are quite similar and you... Quite often, people struggle to see differentiate the two. So
I think when we played Arborea, that was
as well. Yeah,
that was just like intense on the eyes. That was
yeah. Well, don't, if you're colorblind, don't play that. That's the answer to that one.
Yeah,
that's cool though. I like it though.
Yeah, yeah, good news.
It'll be interesting to see what else they could do.
Yeah, and also hopefully it encourages us, the publishers, to do the same.
Definitely. Yeah. Like I say, it doesn't have to be anything over the top as well. Like I said, with the Uno game, it's just got a little shape in the corner. It doesn't have to be over the top to make. So, moving on to our board game and brew. We had an idea to go over to America.
That's the plan.
Obviously, we want to be sort of more worldwide. We don't just want to be stuck in the UK. So we just want to showcase anyone and everyone. Yeah. So I found a place. We were kind of joking earlier about what city should we choose or what place should we choose in America. I think we both were thinking Chicago at the same time, because it's just kind of more of a second city to the main ones, but it's still a pretty cool place and a big city itself. So it would have just been typical to go New York. Not dissing New Yorkers, so don't hate me. But it would just be typical for an Englishman to just go straight for New York, I think.
Yeah.
Especially, I've been watching loads of New York-based TV shows recently. So, yeah. I went to Chicago.
I do want to go back to New York, though. So, maybe that is a good excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd want to go to New York as well. So, that would be cool. Yeah. Go and find some board games. Board games? Board game cafes. So, yeah, I went to Chicago. I found a place called Snakes and Lattes. Yeah. Latte.
Snakes and lattes.
I've been told it's actually latte.
Latte?
Yeah, apparently. That's the proper way to say it, apparently. Snakes and lattes, let's call it that, though. Let's pretend we're in America.
Latte. That is an American drink, isn't it?
Must be.
When I was in Italy, there was never once a latte on the menu.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
What do they have then?
Cappuccino, espresso, that's it.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go. Fun fact.
I'm making stuff up here. I might be completely wrong.
No, you're probably right. Yeah, it must be. Let's call it latte. Let's just confuse everyone. So, Snakes and Lattes. It's a really, really cool looking place. Looks very like well considered and thought out, the place. Over 800 games.
Oh, nice, great selection.
Cost $7 to go and play. But they do have, what's pretty cool, is these monthly and annual memberships. And
oh, then that's
on
cool.
top of those, you get like 15% in the shop as well if you want to buy a game. So really cool initiatives there, like really, really cool.
Yeah, I like that. I think it just gives you that incentive to go more of that.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that would be our downfall.
No, but I think that's good, because I do this with the cinema where I pay for a monthly subscription, and I'm like, well, I've at least got to go once a month to get my money's worth. So
I think we will be divorced if we got that. That's my only issue with it. Our wives would be utterly upset with us for constantly going out. They do these really nice menu options as well, really lots of different things, vegetarian, vegan options as well. There's two really cool things that I liked on there. One was that they do something called pierogies, which are it's a Polish dumpling.
I think I've seen these.
They are banging. So that was cool.
Nice.
The second thing that was just absolutely amazing that it's on the menu. I have an American friend who lives quite close to me, and I watch the Super Bowl with him every year, and every year he makes this artichoke crisp dip. In America, it'll be a chip dip. And it's just this, he does it in a slow cook, and it's really thick, creamy, cream cheese Ooh. Artichoke dip. And it is banging. And they do it on the menu.
Oh, nice.
So if I was there, that's what I'd be having. Pierogies and artichoke dip. Random selection, but why not? they do all the other stuff, like, you know, burgers and pizzas and whatnot.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They've got all the normal options. But really cool looking place. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Even if you just Google it, you'll see all the different images and whatnot. They've got a little video as well. It looks really cool. They've done a really good job. So well done, Snakes Lattes. Shout out from us. we can't wait to one day come out to Chicago.
That's the dream. I really want to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely on
sponsor
the list.
Sponsor us. No, joking. Yeah, we'll have to do that one time.
Definitely.
We're going to have to go around all these cafes that we promote. But yeah, Snakes and Lattes in Chicago. Go check it out if you're in Chicago. So this week on our Board Gamer Showcase, we are going to cover some of our favourite artwork. So where our game of the week was really dry.
We're going polar opposite.
Yeah, we're going polar opposite there now. As the show progressed, we had a cafe that looked really nice. And now we're going to go for our sexiest board games.
Yes.
Do you want to take us through a light game?
I'll go through a light game. So my light game with the best artwork is Parks.
Nice, yeah.
I recently bought this for a friend, and I've been playing... I've played this quite a few times, but I've never actually owned the game, which is quite interesting. It's a really nice... If you've played Tokaido...
Yeah,
another beautiful game. Mm. Maybe I should put that as my game. Yeah, if you like Tokaido, that it's just like going on a journey. It's very chill. So the way it works is you can hit certain spots and like do different activities. So you might like take a picture or visit a certain, and it's meant to be like the parks of America. So I think there's also an expansion. Maybe cut that out if I've got that incorrect. But yeah, it's stunning game. The designer, Henry Audubon, just done an absolutely incredible job. I don't think I've played any of his other games. But yeah, this one is... The designs are so beautiful. And like, as you're traveling through the parks, it's about like admiring the scenery. So I think the artwork is such a key element to how the game plays. I think it's just, yeah, brilliant game. And the artwork is beautiful. And it's just a nice, relaxing, chill time.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah.
I borrowed it, but I never got around to getting it to the table.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I've been meaning to play it for ages. So I look forward to playing it. But when I had it, I did see some of the artwork. And what's nice about it as well is they've taken some time in the actual production of pieces.
Yeah,
and that
high quality game. And... yeah, it's just a real nice, chill one. And I think the artwork reflects that. It's one of those games where, not that it relies on the artwork because the game is poor, but if it didn't have that artwork, it really sells that thematic experience.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I think... I was talking about that on our live stream on Saturday with the Sakana Stack game, because I was saying I think you have to put good artwork in it now to differentiate. I think that's the first thing you're going to look at and go, not people like Luke who wants an ugly beige game. Jake's brother-in-law as well, super ugly games. Not he's super ugly, the games are super ugly. But I think personally, like, you have to put some quality in the design for it to really sell. These days, because I just don't think it... If you don't, it's going to fall flat, I think.
Definitely, yeah. So that was my light game, Parks.
Nice. That's really, really cool. My medium game is... I have to put this on there. I don't know if I particularly love the game, but it's Everdell.
Yeah.
I had to put it in here. If we're talking about artwork excellence, Andrew... Bosley, don't want to butcher his name, sorry.
We always do.
But he's a very talented guy. He's done some good games. I really like his artwork for that new Flock Together game that they've been working on. The artwork looks incredible. But Everdell is a beautiful game in that medium category. And I think when I played it, it was just a bit repetitive. I heard that if you play with the expansions, it's really, really good. So I need to play with the expansions. You played it recently with the expansions,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, I've only ever played it with the expansion.
Okay.
I played with Spycrest, and apparently that's the one to go for.
Okay.
Yeah, stunning game.
Yeah. Well, did it play better?
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I just...
Did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I loved the game.
Yeah, okay. So it must be better with the expansion. Yeah, I just felt like the same kind of cards were coming out and it was just getting a little bit too repetitive for me. Yeah. And I know a friend of ours who has it with all expansions and whatnot, he's said, like, when you get the expansions, you get a lot more variety in the game and that sort of thing. But yeah, he's a very talented guy. It's themed around the woodland scene and, like, woodland critters. The artwork is just beautifully done in a really nice sort of, in its own unique style compared to, like, quite a lot of games.
Yeah.
And if you haven't checked it out, it's well worth it. And check out Andrew Bosley. because he is, yeah, I mean, he's done, like, I think he did, like, Love Letter and Tapestry. He did Mission Red Planet.
Oh, cool.
So he's done a few, like, sort of games. But, yeah, his work he did with Everdale was brilliant. So
yeah, I think Everdale is just... You know what, in the past, I've been the one that has been criticising cozy games.
Yeah.
But I think Everdale is the definition of that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think it's just the like, creatures, they look so nice, cutesy style. And, yeah, just the whole setting and the surroundings of it is just, yeah, real stunning. It's quite a table hogger.
Yeah,
but yeah, amazing game.
It's quite impressive, actually, when you see it, like, all folded out with the little tree. And that is pretty impressive. I think for the first time, if you've never seen it and you go and watch it or look at it, if you watch it on YouTube or buy the game and play it, I think you'll be impressed with the production that's gone into it.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, really, really good game. So, well, really good artwork.
No, I need to
play the expansion to know if it's a good game.
There's the big box as well. That's actually what our friend Sam has got.
Yeah.
And, oh man, it looks amazing.
Yeah,
it really definitely does.
I think he's got like a book on it as well with all the different artwork in it. And because the artwork was that good, they made a book on it. Apparently,
that's really cool.
So for artwork excellence, medium game, it's Everdale.
I think you've hit the nail on the head with that one.
Thank you. heavy, what are we going with?
So heavy game, one of our favourites. I think it's in my top five.
Okay.
That's how good this game is. And the artwork, I wouldn't say it actually contributes to the game that much,
okay,
but it just looks stunning. And that is Brass Birmingham.
Of course.
The artwork is, yeah, it's just brilliant. And being a Brummie, I'm obviously going to be a bit
biased.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think the thing is with the game as well is they paid such respect to, I mean, it's not really Birmingham, it's the Midlands really. And all the different landmarks sort of in that time period of the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
And they've just nailed it.
Yeah,
and you can see the love that they've put into this game is amazing. And what I quite like about, so it's Martin Wallace, the designer, Roxy Games for the publishers. Brass Birmingham existed a long time ago.
Yeah.
I've read an interview with Martin Wallace and he said, so he made Brass at the time and he sold X amount and then they're just on to the next game then. And Roxley came to him and said, we've seen Brass Birmingham. We want to do something with it. And they've made Brass Birmingham and Brass Lancashire and both of them are both just stunning games.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's one of the most nice artworks games that I have in my collection.
Yeah.
Even the front cover, the font, the styling of it, just so classy and cool. And then the board's just really cool. Both sides, the nighttime and the day.
Yeah, I wish I'd been able to get the Kickstarter edition with the metal coins and stuff. They go for crazy money online now. But it's got the day and the night side as well.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, I'm completely with you on that one. I think that would be my pick for heavy as well.
Yeah, and also it helps that it's just an incredible game.
Yeah.
I quite like the... How do I put it? Not the mean nature, but the fact that there is that little bit of player interaction with the beer.
Yeah.
I haven't played Brass Lancashire, and I know that doesn't include it. And I've always just thought, Brass Birmingham is so good. I don't know if... I need to try the other one. Maybe I should. I should give it a go.
Yeah, I think it just plays differently. And some people don't like the beer in Birmingham, but they do enjoy the ports thing in Lancashire.
Okay.
So I do know, or I've heard that some people actually prefer Lancashire over Birmingham. I think I've not played Lancashire. I've seen it. I've like a few playthroughs. I love Birmingham. I think it's such a cool. I'm Midlands based, so obviously all of that sort of. I'm a little bit biased to it all as well, but I just think the gameplay is really, really lovely. I love the whole idea of the game, the two eras, the canal and the steam. I love the way it kind of, the strategy you have to put into it. I think personally, although the artwork doesn't necessarily add to it as much, for me, I just feel like it's part of the experience of, it works for me for that sort of thing. But yeah.
Yeah, also, it's quite a funny one because when I first got into the hobby, I was looking about games to get, and I played a few, like 4 or 5 games. And then I found out that it was rated number one on BGG, and it's a game based on Birmingham. And I was like, well, I've got to get this now. There's no questions asked. But in hindsight, I was probably going in a little bit too deep to start with.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't recommend it as a starter game if you... I've been in the hobby for a little bit now, and you want a little bit of a step up. I think it is that game.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's a complicated game. There's just nuances to the rules that you have to remember.
The whole network,
how coal and nut is distributed through the network, and how iron is, and how beer is like a hybrid of the two.
Yeah.
So a lot of it, you have to really get into that. But in terms of the actions, there's only, I mean, you've got, what, 6 set actions?
I think there's 7 in total.
To 7 in total. Yeah. And only 2 of them really apply to that, which is building a rail network and building buildings.
Yeah, I mean, the rest you can explain in 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's really straightforward, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah, that's just the only 2 nuances to it. But other than that, yeah, I think it's... I think it's a good game. I think you could teach it. I have taught it to new players, and they've picked it up. Obviously, when they first learnt it, it was a bit like overwhelming. But as we've got through the game, they've seemed to pick it up.
The only thing I found with newer players is you say to someone, "Oh yeah, you can. You got these moves," and then they'll go to build somewhere. And he's like, "Oh, wait there. Actually, you can't do that because you're not connected to the coal market." And they're like, "Wait,
I've had that experience once.
Why can I not do that?"
Yeah, I did have that experience once. I think it depends if you're quite... I mean, a lot of people, when you're teaching them the rules, it can be a bit information overload. If you're someone who can pick games up quite well, you'll be okay.
Yeah, the best way I've found to teach it is to say, just think about it thematically.
I agree, that's how
coal is heavy, and you've got to have somewhere to be able to shift it to.
Yeah.
And you've got to be connected that way. Where iron, you can kind of travel on the roads.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way I picked it up really quickly. When I read that, because that's actually in the rules, isn't it?
It tells
you how it works. And when you read that, you can relate to it, and you go, okay, get it. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then it makes it so much easier to understand how it works. I totally agree. I think that is actually something it should be taught thematically, and then you can kind of go back to that.
Yeah.
Really good pick. Love it.
Nice.
Yeah, Brass. Such a good game. So to recap then, so we've got Light is Parks.
Yeah.
Or Takado. we'll go Parks. Second is Everdell. And third, we've gone with Brass. Birmingham.
Yeah.
Let's not use Lancashire. well, Lancashire is just as good.
Yeah, it is.
Just looks a bit darker, doesn't it, on the front?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played with the components. Yeah. You know what? Just carry on.
Cool. Moving on. Back the board. So, back the board. I put something on our social media the day for Tabletop News, which was about Ivy Studio, who's Ivy Studios, can't speak. Start that again. So for Back the Board, I put recently a post up on Instagram about Ivy Studios putting their game Brink out, and they surpassed $800,000 in a week.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah. And it's still on Kickstarter, so go and
yes.
Buy it. Pledge, that's the word I'm thinking of. It's a game that's based on the Moonraker series.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that slight Twilight Imperium feel to it.
Okay.
With these sort of like lores and exploration. And
I love that.
How to do it. The really cool thing, they've got level 1, 2, and 3 ships that you put out in a round. So you all have the same. Level 1 ships can sit inside a hex and they get the resource off that hex.
Yeah.
A level 2 ship is like a road in Catan. It can go down the line of the hex.
Yeah.
And it can activate 2 different hexes to get the resources from both. And a level 3 is like a house in Catan. It sits on the like sort of corner and it activates 3 of the hexes. And you get everything. So the things you get are like influence cubes. You can trade those influence cubes with other people. So they might want certain colours to vote for power for something to help them later in the game or to help them move up their track because you can do upgrades in it and that sort of thing. It's not as heavy as like your Eclipse and your Twilight Imperium. It's not got loads and loads of upgrades and all this. It's very, very kind of small compared.
Yeah.
But really well considered and thought through, I think. The nice thing is I own Moonrakers, and one thing about Ivy Studios is they are super, super good at design and artwork. We talk about production quality, and it all comes down to the fact that they were designers and an animation studio previously before they became board game designers, and they've got the 3D sort of skill set in house to create the components. What's cool is that they didn't just want to put a ship out and that's it, and your upgrade is like a little thing that you have on your board. It's actually a physical part that you then mod the ship and then you put it out. I thought that was just really cool, just a nice touch, something a bit different where they've taken a bit of time and consideration. One thing about them, their games do go for a little bit more than the average board game, I'd say.
Okay.
They do, but you are paying for the production quality.
Yeah, you're getting that premium.
You are products. Getting a much premium, and I love that. I mean, I'm a sucker for that sort of thing. I love good quality components and pieces. Moonrakers is lovely. When I bought it, I didn't even buy the Titan edition. I just bought the base game, and I got metal coins.
Oh, nice.
The artwork's beautiful. It's really well. It's got like spot UV kind of gloss on the board and on the, and that sort of thing. Just really well designed. So I think Brink being a game, I bought the expansion for Moonrakers. I pledged for Moon Rollers, which is the roll version of Moonrakers.
Nice.
That should be coming soon. I think I got an email to say that's been shipped over to the UK now. So Brink just looks equally as good. It looks really, really good. They are really good as well at their advertising campaign. So you've probably already seen it if you're a board gamer. You've seen the Instagram ads and everything else coming through. A lot of the main influencers are all playing it and doing playthroughs. So they are doing a very aggressive push with it. Fair play. It's worked for them. But it is still available. So don't miss out because...
Check out Brink.
So episode 15, that's dogs are humping. Come on, yeah. Start that again. What did I say? Oh, yeah. So, episode 15
complete.
Another one down.
I know.
Another one to go. Another million to go. it's good. We'll see if Jake's on the next one.
Yeah, hopefully so. Yeah. If he's feeling better. Hopefully he is. And yeah, I just want to say apologies to us getting them a bit late onto Spotify. And
yeah.
Well, wherever you listen to your podcasts. So yeah, we'll make sure that we get them on as soon as possible for people.
Yeah, we've just had a bit of a manic few weeks, haven't we?
Holidays.
Jake's been away for like nearly a month, hasn't he? And then came back, and then you were away for 2 weeks, then I was away for about a week.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just been...
We're back,
ready to go.
Nearly ready to go. We're two-thirds of the ready to go.
We'll just keep doing this, though.
Yeah.
Keep this going. So yeah, till next time.
Till next time.
See you later.
See ya.